Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. Brighton just went live with its new automated speed camera on Monday. This was after a three-month trial. It is the first in Northumberland County. In places like Toronto and Vaughan, these cameras are controversial. Some call them speed traps, while others say it is a cost-effective, efficient way to reduce speed in the community. In this interview, you will hear Mayor Brian Ostrander make his case on behalf of council. You decide whether it's a good thing, both in Brighton and possibly elsewhere in the county. Have a listen. It's really nice to have back Brighton Mayor Brian Ostrander. Welcome back to Consider This Northumberland.
Thanks, Robert. I appreciate you having me on.
How serious is the issue of road safety in Brighton as it's related to speeding?
It's an extremely serious concern for residents and members of council, to the point where we undertook a full-on transportation master plan, recognizing that we were getting complaints from all sorts of pockets of the community. And so rather than trying to deal with these things, road by road, we thought, you know what, we need to deal with this on a more global municipal basis. So we hired an engineering consultant to offer us some advice on better road networks, better road safety, how better to deal with traffic calming measures, et cetera, et cetera. So that report is now in our hip pocket, and I have, through the new strong mayor powers, asked staff to prepare a budget that will include those measures for me to present to council as required now under the new legislation.
Do you have any statistics that might paint us a picture of just what the situation is?
I don't have true and real statistics in front of me, Robert, that talk to it. I just have really the concerns are almost always anecdotal. You know, people feel that people are driving too swiftly. And so, we'll send out the speed monitoring devices, the black cats, we call them. We'll ask for additional enforcement. And we'll get, some of that data back saying, you know what, people are 5-10 kilometers over the speed limit, or, you know, this road really isn't as problematic as we thought it was, etc. But that's entirely why we undertook that transportation master plan. We wanted those data sets to be able to say, you know, here's where the real issues are. Here's the roads that are, you know, we're running too quickly. Here's the ones where we can reduce the speed and not expect significant concerns. Here's the ones where we might be able to increase speed because people are, you know, there's no houses around, and we've reduced the speed limit to an unnecessarily slow amount.
Can you share any of the anecdotes or stories that people are telling you that drew your attention to this issue? Now, I know a year ago, a mother, I believe her name was Sarah Nader, appeared before council after her son was nearly hit trying to board a school bus. Are there any other tales you can share?
Absolutely. So let me go back to that one. That did result in that. So that was on a county road. So we can, you know, I can take my mayor hat off and put my warden hat on for a second and say, when I brought that issue to county, county public works staff said, okay, now we'll look into that. And when we did look into that, we discovered that the 60 zone, between the urban boundary and the 80 zone on County Road 2 was too short under the technical standards manual for the Highway Traffic Act. So we knew we needed to extend it. Staff went and looked at what that should look like. There's a lot of turning that happens at a road called Bowes Road because it's the only grade separated way to get to the south portion of Brighton. So you can imagine a lot of people use it as a bypass to get through to into Trenton or back from Trenton. So county staff extended that 60 kilometer per hour zone out to Bowes Road to help make things a little safer along the way. Most recently along that stretch, I've now had lots of enforcement concerns because we lower the speed limit and behavior doesn't change right away. So I've had those conversations with the local inspector to ask for at first education and now some enforcement. Some other anecdotes. Brighton is growing, and a lot of our growth is in the south portion of our community. And there's a road called Raglan Street that runs between Ontario Street and Cedar Street. This road, when I was a youth, was a trail through the woods. We would ride our bikes through that trail. And today it is a full-on street that connects almost entirely residential traffic. In fact, it is entirely residential traffic. There's no commerce down there, and one park, at least one park that I can think of. So it is, I think it's listed as a 40 zone at the moment, but because it is a straight through road, people tend to drive a little quicker. So I think that's one of the roads, the streets in the community where we will see some wish for traffic calming as we get through the budget season this year.
When I was reading the transportation master plan, I was struck by the fact that school crossing guards on Elizabeth Street near the two schools were a source of anecdotes, stories about what was going on with traffic. Can you share some of that?
Well, sure. I mean, I think you could ask any crossing guard anywhere in the province of Ontario, and they would have lots of traffic stories to tell. They are also they have eyes on. So, they also, it's not just anecdotes. They're seeing concerning behavior. And it's mostly, people running red lights or people not stopping at stop signs. And if I'm a crossing guard and you see that behavior, that's very concerning because I'm the one holding the crossing, the stop sign as I'm in the middle of the road. We did have a crossing guard struck a couple of years ago, I think it was Prince Edward and Main Street. And that precipitated then our want to have the walk signs come on in advance of the green light so that people could get out into the intersection. So that was really one of our first forays into, pedestrian safety and how do we make sure people are crossing the roads, especially young children who are crossing the roads and going to school on their own. But absolutely, crossing guards are seeing all sorts of precarious behavior as people rush to get to where they need to go.
I understand that this is the first automated speed enforcement program in Northumberland County. Can you tell us what is an automated speed enforcement program?
Sure. In very simple terms, it's a speed camera. It is set up on Elizabeth Street in a community safety zone, which is, I think, one of the requirements. A 40 kilometer per hour zone that runs roughly from Alice Street, our fire hall, to the end of the urban boundary in Brighton. So just past the No Frills at the John Street lights. Lots of people have asked me things like, well, why not have that zone only when the school's in? Because there are two schools. We have Brighton Public School, which is Brighton's largest elementary school. And of course, we have East Northumberland Secondary School, which is a large, what I'd call a regional high school. We draw from several communities, well over 1,000 students attending that school. So lots of pedestrian traffic during the school year. But there's also a seniors home right beside the high school. There's also Brighton's largest urban recreational park with tennis and skateboarding and baseball and four soccer pitches, so a splash pad. So we have a lot of children and their parents who end up at King Edward Park, and lots of them walk there. So we want to make sure people are driving slowly through that portion of the community all year round. And yep, that means absolutely all year round.
Now, can you describe the camera itself? Are these portable? Are they fixed? How big are they? Can you give us a description?
Sure. It's about the size of. I'm just eyeballing it. I haven't actually measured it, but I'd say it's about the size of a thick laptop. So the square circumference of a laptop, but a little thicker. Of course, there's more electronics in there, and it doesn't look like a camera. I'm sure there is a lens, of course. It has to take a picture, but it doesn't look like the fella at the Blue Jays game with the large camera. It is an electronic device, and when it detects that your vehicle is going at or above the speed that has been set for that camera, it will take a photo of your vehicle and the license plate. And then our bylaw enforcement staff will work with a contractor to go through those to determine which ones are visible, perfectly visible, and which ones aren't. We obviously can't issue tickets to people who can't read the license plate. A ticket will be mailed out to that individual, the owner of the vehicle, that is.
But is it like in the ground in concrete, or is it something that you can pick up and move to another street?
So the cameras are on poles, and the poles are on concrete, but I believe the cameras can be moved to another street. If we wanted to fix posts somewhere else, we could do that.
What was the cost of implementing the program?
My recollection of that is it was under, I'm not including staff time in this, but it was under $25,000 for all of the equipment and the implementation of the costs.
Does that seem like a reasonable cost to you for such a program?
I don't know how many people will speed through that intersection, but I know what the stats were telling us during the 90-day trial period. And Robert, we will have made that money up by last Monday.
What's the difference between a speed trap and one of these machines?
I think it's a speed trap involves an OPP officer in our community, police officer in some other communities, actually sitting at the side of the road using a radar camera, and then pulling out in traffic and pulling that person over if they detect that if their radar equipment detects that person is traveling too fast. And then, of course, the whole at the side of the road, getting out of the vehicle while traffic's going by and issuing a ticket or having that educational moment.
I wonder, though, and I see this in other places, there are great debates about how clear it is that you're entering a zone where there is this automated speed enforcement. And language that gets used often is that if it's not well identified, then in fact, it's just another form of a speed trap. Just there's not a cop there. How fair do you think that is in describing what you're doing, and how well have you done in terms of signage to ensure that citizens know, people coming through know that this is there and will be enforcing?
Well, I can tell you from the social media comments I've seen, people are well aware that we have instituted an automated speed enforcement system on Elizabeth Street. Certainly, I've had lots of questions about whether this is just a money grab or whether we do in fact want people to slow down. So that certainly has been on those social media posts. People aren't afraid to chime in with their opinions on them, that's for sure. So I'm going to suggest that people are abundantly aware that there's a speed camera here in Brighton.
Besides being abundantly aware, how would you describe the tone of this public discourse and the comments that you're receiving directly as well? Is it positive? Is it negative? What are you hearing?
It's about 50-50. I think there's a lot of people who are concerned about these automated enforcement techniques being quote unfair in terms of you don't get to have that conversation with a police officer when you're being pulled over. It's a robot taking your picture and submitting the information through our bylaw enforcement team who doesn't get to have that conversation about why someone may have been traveling at the speed they were, etc. But I've also seen lots of comments on the socials about if you don't want a ticket, don't speed. And that's That's sort of where I'm at. You know, people have said it's a cash grab, and I have come back with no speeding equals no cash grab. So, you know, the speed limit's 40. I do 40 through there. If I'm not doing 40 through there, Robert, I expect to get a speeding ticket and I'll pay it.
Can you explain the process from the beginning, the guided counsel to introduce the automated speed enforcement program? Because when I looked through the master plan for transportation, it didn't necessarily point to this as a tool to use. So how did you make that leap in logic?
Sure. So I think they were happening in tandem. I think the traffic transportation master plan was happening while we were also going through the automated speed enforcement implementation process. But this all started at a ROMA conference, a Rural Ontario Municipal Association conference. A new member of council, Councillor Byron Ferretis, who has passed away since, was chatting with, I'm not sure, I don't remember whether he went to one of the sessions or whether he was chatting with someone at the trade show. It might have been the trade show, having the conversation about these kind of enforcement mechanisms and how they work and opportunities for additional revenues for the municipality, et cetera, et cetera. So he brought this back to council, and council endorsed his concept and asked staff to go down the road of engaging with the contractor, or at least finding a contractor. We had to do it publicly and openly to engage in automated speed enforcement in Brighton.
Why not just tell the OPP to up the traffic enforcement? Why not just go that route?
Well, easy to do, I guess, Robert, but every additional OPP officer costs us, you know, between $100,000 and $150,000. A couple of years ago, we did, in fact, look at doing exactly that and enhancing our OPP contract to add a couple of police officers. But I'll be perfectly honest. Why would I, knowing that this system is available, why would I spend an additional $300,000 or $400,000 on enhanced enforcement when I can have this automated enforcement tool that brings money into the municipality and will now afford me to do those infrastructure projects that yesterday I was wondering how I was going to afford to do?
So let's say someone's driving along. How fast will they need to be going to get nailed?
That's a question I get asked all the time. And here's my answer. I know that there will be a tolerance. I know that, you know, no one's going to get ticketed for 41. I have very specifically asked staff not to tell me what the tolerance is because I have a big mouth and I will tell people. But what I have said to people is if you get a ticket for 45 kilometers for driving 45 kilometers in a 40 zone from our automated speed enforcement system, you come talk to me and I'll take care of that ticket one way or the other, because that's, I don't think a fair speed by which people should be going. I think if the tolerance isn't set high at that speed or at least or higher, then I don't think we're being very fair. Speedometers aren't calibrated, 100%. In my own home, one of our vehicles, when we changed the winter tires to summer tires, the speedometer's off by a couple of kilometers. So 2 to 3 kilometers, depending on how fast you drive. So, you know, let's be fair about this. We're not trying to get people who are trying to obey the rules but happen to be going a little too quick.
How will people know that they're getting a ticket? Is there anything in the moment, or how does that work?
Unfortunately, they won't know. In some cases, they probably won't know for 2 or 3 weeks, because that's how long it will take to process the ticket and have it in the mail. So there may be some people who will get 3, 4, 5 of these before they even realize they need to slow down in there. I'm hopeful that should those people challenge this through the administrative monetary penalty system, that the adjudicator will be lenient in some way to say, well, listen, one ticket's quite enough, 7 are too many, and now you're on my list, by the way. If you keep doing it, I'm not going to be lenient.
What are the fines?
Same as under the Highway Traffic Act. So it's $5 per kilometer over the speed limit, plus a victim surcharge that the courts require us to place on the fine, plus a service fee for the contractor who helps us make this all possible.
How do people pay?
That's a good question. I believe there's an electronic payment system. I think they can pay by any means they wish.
What do they do if they want to fight the ticket?
So they're like any other ticket. They can say, I'm not guilty of this. And through the administrative monetary penalty system, they will be afforded an opportunity for an adjudicator to hear their concerns.
These machines are controversial in Toronto. One example is the sensitivity of the machines, and in some cases, nabbing drivers for 5 kilometers over. You've talked a little bit about this as an issue. How much grace period are you going to give people before you start to crack down? And is this a big deal in Brighton?
So the system has already been tested for 90 days, which we were required to do through the Ministry of the Attorney General. That was our agreement with them and a requirement by them. That 90-day period ended on last Monday, a week ago, on July 14th, and that's when the system went live.
Toronto has generated $7 million in fines and issued 66,000 tickets since 2022. That's a three-year period. When deliberating this, did council consider revenue generation as a motivation for doing this? You've alluded to it earlier, but was this something that people discussed as an advantage to doing this?
The simple answer is yes. I'm going to say that our primary motivation is to slow people down. Traffic safety is what we want. We want people to be driving, 40 kilometers or thereabouts through that zone. But I'm cognizant that this will be a revenue generator, and I am happy to pay for infrastructure projects on the back of speeders.
Vandalism is a huge problem in Toronto as well. 5 cameras were vandalized in a single week in June. Are there worries that this may happen in Brighton, and what precautions are being taken?
So yes, there's worries. And yes, the OPP are aware that this could happen and are paying very close attention to these cameras at the moment. If necessary, we will put other monitoring cameras up to catch anybody doing anything silly in our community.
In Vaughan, the system was put on hold after 32,000 speeding tickets were issued in 3 weeks. Now, people stopped going to bingo due to the number of tickets they were getting. And of course, the numbers would be higher in a metropolitan area. But how are you going to monitor the system so that this does not happen in Brighton, that people feel that they can still drive along the streets and they're not going to be harassed or find it a problem to get places?
Yeah, and fair enough. I mean, this is a thoroughfare that is the main entrance to our community. So people just trying to get to work and people trying to get to groceries, etc. So this is a fair concern, I think, that we have, and that has been expressed. We'll have to monitor the situation. I'm not prepared to say, we'll yank them down and move them somewhere else. We may do that anyway, but for now, we're just going to have to monitor the situation, and if it becomes problematic, we'll deal with it as we do anything else.
Well, since you mentioned it, are there plans to expand beyond the one on Elizabeth Street?
There's no plans. We haven't chatted about that openly in council, so council hasn't certainly directed staff to do so. I believe that through the whole transportation master plan process, we will identify other spots, other community safety zones in the community that might warrant these kinds of speed cameras. We may also identify areas of the community that might warrant a community safety zone and therefore would be open for that opportunity as well. So all things as we do in Brighton, all things as we need them.
As I mentioned earlier, this is the first automated speed enforcement program in Northumberland County. Have any other municipalities in Northumberland spoken to you about the program? Has there been any interest in applying it other places?
I've just had anecdotal conversations with a couple of other mayors, but I don't think anybody's quite ready to jump on board. I think they want to see what wrinkles we need to iron out in Brighton before anybody else jumps on board. But now that we have the system in place, we are prepared to help others not just implement the system, but actually process the tickets so that they don't have to create their own processing center. We're here and able to help with that. And that would be another smaller source of revenue for our community as we help other communities increase their revenues.
Lauren Ostrander, I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me today.
Thanks, Robert. It's always a pleasure.
That was Brighton Mayor Brian Ostrander. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.